I want to say something about believers' baptism. Can I do that this evening? Believers' baptism. It's one of the first steps on the positive side of this repentance. It was that way with the early Anabaptists, and it was also that way with the early church. In fact, they were so close together that it is hard to separate them. And many times, the one meant the same thing as the other. It was that way in Anabaptists also. I mean, the fires were hot and persecution was hot. And then the climate was hot. And it was troublous time. And I mean, if you stepped forward and said, yes, I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd lose your head over it maybe the next day. I mean, when the climate is like that, you don't need to find out if they're sincere. All you got to do is say, anybody else want to be baptized today? Right? That's how it was. That way in the early church, I mean, when those men heard that sermon by Peter, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? All Peter had to do is say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt receive a remission of your sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's all he had to say, because the climate was set. Yes, step forward and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll lose everything you ever had. You'll lose your name, you'll lose your reputation, you'll lose your inheritance, you'll lose your family, you'll lose anything. Anybody want to be baptized? That's metanoia, amen? Believer's baptism is one of the first steps on the positive side of repentance. Many times the preachers called them to baptism as an open confession of their faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. Dear friend, I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe I'm talking to somebody on the telephone now. Dear friend, you cannot keep walking in the light of what God has done in your heart if you hide in your church and comply. You cannot keep walking with God. It's only a matter of time. You cannot keep walking in the light if you refuse believers' baptism. You cannot keep walking in the light if you hide your light under a bushel. You cannot keep walking in the light if you do not testify of your newfound faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot keep walking in the beautiful things that God has done for you unless you walk in the reality of who you are in the midst of the people that are around you. You can't do it. And I'm afraid there are many who had a beautiful start. Oh my, I'm sure the churches here in this county are filled with them who had a beautiful start back there maybe 10 years ago. And some minister came to them and said, okay, that's good. Amen. We also believe in being born again. Yes, we need you here. But just settle down and quiet down and just go with the flow of things and be a help here. And you know the truth and the reality of it is that you've dried up since then. You cannot keep walking in the light and not walk in the light of what God has done in your heart and your life before men. You can't do it. I challenge you to show me that you could. Believer's baptism is a first step on the positive side of repentance. It's as simple as that. I know people from different church backgrounds who didn't have the courage to defy the sacred baptism of their church denomination, and therefore they just settled down and kept it low. Among the Hutterite people, if you get a believer's baptism, you have nowhere to sleep the next night and no food to eat. Out with you. Some of them step forward and get baptized and they go on with God and they grow and they're disciples and they love God and their lives prosper. But others look at the same situation and say, whoa, I'm not sure that I'm willing to pay the price for that. I think I'll just rest in that unbeliever's baptism that I had back there. You see, because the ministers count that as a sacred baptism. And sometimes I think that some of these Anabaptist background churches believe in sacramentalism. You know what that is? That means there's some spiritual power, something sacred about that baptism or that communion or whatever, and therefore, don't you dare touch that sacred baptism. That's not right. We are called to a believer's baptism You go through the scriptures yourself, you get a concordance, and you look up that word baptism and go through the New Testament, and you'll find in every situation it was a believer who came to the Lord who was then baptized. Oh my, I think about the reformers, you know, they were the same way. They said to the early Anabaptists, look, your child baptism was a sacred baptism. God was watching it. God knows the sincerity of your heart and life. You don't need to be baptized now that you've been born again. That's what they told them. And some of them wouldn't pay the price, and they stayed in those dying little churches because of it. But others said, no, no, I want a believer's baptism. Baptism is for those who have repented, metanoia, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, become followers of Jesus. Baptism is for them, and I want to be baptized. Just like the Lord Jesus was baptized. I want to be baptized. And they paid with their life, multitudes of them. And we look back to them, and we lift them up, and we honor them, but we're not willing to follow them. That's not right. Something is haywire in our minds if we think that that's okay. It's not okay. It's not a little issue. Listen, the devil will keep you from that public believer's baptism for years if you'll let him. Never forget the one dear brother that I talked to who was baptized after years of wrestling with all of this. And I said, brother, how's your conscience? He looked at me with a big smile and he said, it's finally quiet. Amen! It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Amen! He looked at me with a smile and said, it's finally quiet. I wonder how your conscience is. Is it noisy in there tonight? You cannot keep walking in the light if you hide in your church and comply to the status quo. You cannot walk in the light if you refuse believers' baptism. You cannot walk in the light if you hide your light under a bushel. When you hide your light under a bushel, guess what? It finally runs out of oxygen and goes out. Through the years, many have come to a measure of repentance and faith and forgiveness. But they hid their light underneath a bushel. And they've been paying for it ever since. Whoa. Why do they keep quiet? They don't want to be persecuted. But let's not throw any stones at them. We don't want to be persecuted either. Amen? We don't want to be persecuted. And for many of them, the light is about gone out. I mean, that's like a little smoking flax, you know. It's just smoldering there. Oh, dear friend. Won't you light a fire on that wick again? True obedience and true repentance. That brings forth fruit meet for repentance. And I guarantee you that wick will spring up with fire again and you'll begin to glow with new light and life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some may say, oh, brother, you're preaching salvation by works. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Neither were the Anabaptists. They were preaching salvation which produces works. In the midst of a church who preached salvation that didn't produce work. Which one do you want? The one that produces a life that's vibrant and clear? Or the one that gives you a good little feeling and a pat on the back? I don't know about you, but I want the one that's clear and bright and vibrant. No, I'm not preaching salvation by works tonight. I'm preaching a salvation that produces work. Praise God for the righteousness that is imputed to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. But brothers and sisters, true imputed righteousness will bring imparted righteousness with it. And if there is no imparted righteousness, you know nothing of imputed righteousness. True imputed righteousness will produce a change in a life. And the key is metanoia. That's it. Metanoia. Let me read you in closing here. Just a few little writings here about what some of the brethren believed about salvation and repentance. Menno Simons wrote these words. we shun carnal works and desire to conform ourselves in our weakness to God's word and His command. This we do, not because we would be saved by our own works and merits, but because He has taught and commanded us, for whosoever does not walk according to His doctrine testifies by his deeds that he does not believe in Him nor know Him, and that he is not in the communion of the saints. In other words, he's saying there must be a life that changes. For the truly regenerated and spiritually minded conform in all things to the word and ordinances of the Lord, not for the reason that they suppose to merit the propitiation for their sins and eternal life. By no means, he said. For this they depend on nothing except the blood and merits of Christ, relying upon the sure promise of a merciful Father which was graciously given to all believers, which blood alone, I say again, is and ever will be the only and eternal valid means by which reconciliation can come to the heart of man. For this can never fail. Where there is true faith, there is also dying to sin, a new creature, true repentance, a sincere, regenerated, unblameable Christian. Thank you, Menno Simon. Wherever there is true faith, one does no longer live according to the lust of sin, but according to the will of Him who purchased us with His own blood and drew us by His own Spirit and regenerated us by His word. Namely, His name is Jesus Christ. True faith, which avails before God, is a living and a saving power, which is, through the preaching of the Holy Word, bestowed of God on a heart, moving, changing, regenerating it to newness of mind. It destroys all ungodliness, all pride, all unholy ambitions and selfishness, and makes us children of malice. Behold, such is the faith which the Scriptures teach us, and not in vain, dead and untruthful illusion, as the worldly churches would dream. Thank you, Menno. Martin Weniger wrote these words, "If Christ's kingdom is truly within us, we obtain grace to do the will of God and serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Amen? Not in foolishness and nonsense. We serve Him in reverence and godly fear, because God's fear comes upon us. If we are under grace, sin cannot reign in our mortal bodies. Amen? For Christ died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. John said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, that is in sin, we lie and do not the truth. And lastly, Pilgrim Marfex said these words, "We recognize as true Christian faith only such a faith through which the Holy Spirit and the love of God come into the heart, and which is active, powerful, and operative in all outward obedience and commanded works. We believe that one is made a child of God and free from the law and the bondage of sin only through such a faith by which the Spirit, as the power of God, lives in the heart and does His work." Amen. There then is liberty, 2 Corinthians 3:17. To such liberty one comes by abiding in the words of Christ, and through the law of the Spirit of life, through which one is made free from the law of sin and death, but not the law of Christ, but not from the law of Christ, or from the obligation of obedience in the things which He has taught and commanded. This is disowned by some man who denied the need of practicing the Christian ordinance. Well, that's just a little, very, very short smidgen of some of the writings that they believed that they wrote about salvation. And brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but if I were you, I'd go for that kind of salvation. A life-transforming salvation that is so clear that everyone knows your life has been changed. And I want to say something to just a few of you that may be here in this tent this evening. You're a youth. You have come to the age of accountability. You are no longer innocent. If you in your house are making difficulty and trouble in your house, if your mom and dad have a longing in their heart tonight that, oh, would Sonny come tonight, you are no longer innocent, my dear one. You are not innocent. If you sit here this evening and you know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and that He died for you and that He's calling you and He has a life for you and you're not willing to follow Him, you are no longer sitting here as an innocent soul. You are a guilty soul. You are in rebellion before God. If mom and dad are saying, oh, I wish that they would come tonight, and oh, I know what their life is like, and all the trouble that they're giving us at home, and oh, maybe he'll come tonight. You are not innocent. And you need to come to Jesus. He wants to change you. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, that's true, my friend. But I beg you, don't spurn the love of God. Don't spurn the grace of God. My spirit will not always strive with man, says the Scriptures. We're going to have an invitation this evening. The invitation is twofold. Twofold. First of all, maybe you're one of those. And God's Spirit is hovering over you even as you sit here tonight and you know it. And you're guilty. And there's conviction upon your heart. That conviction is there because God is calling you. You don't need to wait until God comes and grabs a hold of you and pulls you down here. If in your heart you are being convicted, God is saying, come and be saved tonight. So the invitation is to you if you're not born again. And secondly, the invitation is maybe to some others here who kind of had a halfway repentance. And you know, you're just kind of floundering out there and yeah, you say, I've been born again, and maybe even went to the baptismal waters and answered all those questions and said, yes, I'm forsaking the world, and yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. But you know in your own heart as you're here this evening that it's not that way in reality in your life. I just want to encourage you also to come and do business with God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before you, Lord. You said that you would send the Holy Spirit. When He would come, He would convict the world. He would convict the world. Lord, we ask You that You'd send Your conviction by the Spirit of God upon all the hearts in this tent this evening. Oh, Father, I pray for those who are wrestling in their hearts right now, that are wrestling with pride. Oh, Lord, I pray, deliver them from that pride. Don't let that pride stop them from obeying the holy voice of a living God. God, we do commit this invitation to you and pray that a holy hush settle down over us. Lord, please, God, do that. It is the song of invitation this evening, Brother Kenny. Let's turn in our songbooks to number 53. As the song leader leads, you sing. If you have a need, the altar is open for you. You come as we sing. Number 53. Amen. God will help you. Amen. Thank you. Oh, my friend. Yes, it is for you. Amen. God bless you. Sing the last verse and then we'll be done. You come. You have a need. There's people sitting here. I know there is. You have a need. You're holding out. You're holding out. You're not holding out against the preacher. You're holding out against God. You're not holding out against your parents. You're holding out against God. I warn you, don't play games with God. You sing this last verse. You come. You need to. With all your heart. Can you? Amen. That's right, Lord.
Bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or if you'd rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Moe's, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now. Thank you and God bless you. Have a wonderful day.